hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. Welcome to the 106th episode of Admissions Trade Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that wonderful moment where you can high-five the person next to you and shout, "Yes, I'm in." Now, the 2015-16 MBA application cycle has started. The season is open. As I speak, Columbia, Harvard, Stanford, and MIT have all posted their essay questions. Other schools have announced deadline dates, and I'm sure other schools will have their essay questions by the time this podcast is online. And still other schools have announced when their applications will be live. Yes, folks, things are happening in the MBA world, in the B-school world. Before I jump into several topics that I would like to raise with you today, I've been thinking of having this podcast, a podcast where I'm the only one doing the talking, for a while, but I've had some wonderful guests, and I didn't want to postpone any of them to let me do what I'm going to do today. Before I jump into several different topics that I'd like to explore today, I'd like to remind you that I'm happy to answer your questions on the show. You can post your questions and comments at info.accepted.com/106. which is the location of today's show notes, or you can email your question to me at questions@accepted.com. Now to a few topics that I would like to cover. I can even say a few diverse topics, but they're not as diverse as a typical MBA class, so maybe we shouldn't go there. Now, some of you are right now sweating to prepare for the GMAT or GRE, and others of you have taken it and are worried about your low scores and trying to figure out whether you should retake or not retake. I'm not going to discuss that topic today. Right now, at least for the first part of this podcast, I want to address those of you with high scores, superlative scores, the scores that, man, you just like to put them on your LinkedIn page, tell people about, but you're too modest, maybe. Tattoo it on your forehead. You're so proud of it. That's fantastic. Congratulations. Give yourself a pat on the back, and then please check your ego at the door before you start your applications. Because high scores have risks just as much, well, not maybe as much, but they have risks also. They have different kinds of risks. You see, high scores can lead to certain negatives. What am I talking about? You must be wondering. You can't get too high a GMAT or GRE score. Schools love high scores. No, I'm not crazy, and you're not wrong. Schools do love high scores, but they don't like applicants who are arrogant or cocky. And high scores sometimes engender both arrogance and cockiness. So the danger is that high scores can lead to cockiness, or its close and even uglier cousin, arrogance. Now, when you are cocky or arrogant in the application process, you are going to have problems, big problems. If you get cocky about your chances because of your great score, you may just slap together an inferior application and send it in because you mistakenly believe your high score will carry the day and get you in. I'm reminded of a story I heard a long, long time ago. I was on a panel at some conference, and there was a representative, I think, from Princeton Review. I'm not sure which one, but it was one of the big test prep companies. I happen to remember Princeton Review. And he talked about the fact that he had gotten either a perfect or near perfect LSAT score. And this was the time when you submitted an application, you submitted a paper application and you filled it out, usually with pen, and you mailed it in because you stuck it into an envelope and put a stamp on the envelope. You know, that whole thing, actually, some of you are probably too young to remember that. In any case, that was the process. So what did he do? Because he had this great score, he did it in pencil. It was full of spelling mistakes, incomplete sentences. It was horrible. And he got rejected at every school he applied to, which he admitted he deserved to be. Now that sloppiness, and again, the top schools will not countenance it. Or worse, you could convey an attitude of entitlement and arrogance. Think about, you know, God's gift to MBA-dom. If you convey that attitude in your interactions with the schools, either through your application, where it's probably a little bit more difficult to do, but I've seen it done, or more informally and commonly, when meeting with current students or alumni, or even interacting with the clerical staff, such behavior is lethal to your chances. You are toast. If a receptionist goes to the director and says, you know, that gal, she was really rude. She did this, she said this and this and this. Well, that guy, he's arrogant. Forget it. He's full of himself. You're finished. Your humility will carry the day, even if you have a superlative score. I'll give you an example, a couple of examples. A couple of years ago, an MBA applicant called me for information about our services. He had slightly above, he had above average test scores, very good test scores, for his target schools, great grades, relevant and impressive work experience. He was a hotshot, and he came across as a hotshot. Not terrible. He was perfectly pleasant. He was polite, but he was maybe a little bit more than confident, shall we say. He spoke first to me, he spoke to one of our consultants, and then he decided to apply on his own. A year later, he was back. He had interviewed at several schools, three if I recall, maybe even four, but he had been accepted at none. This time, he wanted to work with us, specifically with the consultant that he had spoken with, and I said, that's fine. I referred him to her. I also called her to give her a heads up. And I told her, I think that he probably was not accepted because he came across as a cocky hotshot. And she agreed that that was probably the reason. And we both agreed, and I think the terms I use was, I think you're going to have to bring him down a peg. And I don't think she so much wanted to deflate his ego or damage his self-esteem, but she did have to convince him of the merit and value of humility. And she gently guided him to acceptance at a top-tier program, I think more than one, actually. And he was terribly appreciative for the what and how she had done it. We had another applicant from a common applicant cohort with a 750-plus GMAT. Similar story. I don't think he conveyed arrogance or cockiness, but he wasn't strategic in how he conveyed himself in his application. That's where we came in and helped him. And that leads me to the next topic, which is you need to be strategic in what you're presenting about yourself in your essays and boxes. I'm going to give you some guidelines here for how to do that. For those of you with competitive scores who are not worrying about your GMAT, or even with less than competitive scores who are not worrying about your GMAT or GRE scores, and you're not also, you don't have to be concerned about arrogance or cockiness because you're far from it, listen up. The rest of this is for all of you. You, like your friend with the superlative score, need to be strategic in using the boxes and the essays in any application. They need to complement each other. The boxes, first of all, realize that the boxes aren't throwaways or something to hurriedly fill out in a mad dash during the hour before the deadline. Use them to create an impression of someone with many accomplishments. In other words, if each box reveals something different or a different achievement, a different accomplishment, and let them convey rich leadership experience and make the create an impression of someone, of you, as someone who will contribute to the business school campus or the campus life of the school that you're applying to. Make sure your resume and job and our activity histories complement each other. You want to show yourself as a doer and a leader in multiple arenas of your life. For the essays, dive into a few critical experiences that you superficially touched upon in the boxes. The boxes in the resume provide an overview. The essays allow you to go deep and use them for that purpose. You can provide details and context that you just don't have the room for in the boxes and resume. So dive into a few critical experiences that you superficially touched upon in the boxes. As you choose what to focus on and emphasize, make sure you answer the question and keep in mind the values and criteria that the school has conveyed through its website, webinars, and other communications. And make sure everything makes sense. We recently reviewed a rejected application for somebody who contacted us for that particular purpose. And when I spoke with a consultant who reviewed the application, a former admissions director, she said his application didn't make sense. What he said he wanted to do had no connection to what he had done previously or even what the school's strengths were. So she says, I would have rejected him too. That's not the feedback, you know, I mean, it was valuable feedback for him because he's going to change what he's going to do. So it was valuable at this point, but that's not the impression you want to be creating with your resume. And in his case, he followed the advice his friends gave him. Well, you know, crowdsourcing doesn't always work. The wisdom of the crowd isn't always true wisdom. Be genuine in your responses, then they will make sense, as long as your life makes sense. But at the same time, be mindful of what the school is going to value. Let me give you an analogy, okay? If you take a picture of a house from the street, it looks one way. If you take a picture from the sky, as Google does, as Roof or Zillow does, I guess, it looks very different from what Google will show on the street view. It'll look very different from the blueprint, which also represents the house, right? It'll look very different from the backyard. These are all different perspectives on the same house. Well, you should be presenting an authentic view of you, but keep in mind what the schools are going to find most attractive. Also keep in mind the question they're asking, because the question they're asking is what they really want to know. They didn't put the question so that you could answer some other question. That's there because that's what they really want to know. And finally, use your essays to provide context for your achievements. You can discuss in the essays you have the room to discuss an interpersonal challenge you faced or some other type of hurdle you had to overcome. If the boxes and resume give an overview, which is what they do, the essays, again, allow you to go deep. Don't blow the opportunity to go deep. Don't blow the opportunity to go deep by blathering platitudes, spitting back website copy, or focusing on technical achievements and jargon, which, frankly, it may not understand and probably don't care about. This is business school. They want to see evidence of leadership. They want to see you as a leader and contributor. While, as I mentioned at the beginning, more schools have released essay questions early, most schools have not yet released their questions. That means that now is not a time to do nothing if you have your test score behind you and you're satisfied with it. That means that now is the perfect time to nail your resume. Get it done. Take your most recent resume, update it. Focus on achievements. Quantify as much as possible. Find out if your target programs want a 1 or 2 page resume and then create it accordingly. Focus most of your attention and resume real estate on your recent positions where you presumably had the most responsibility. And as I said several times already, quantify whenever possible. Stay away from mere descriptions of responsibilities, especially if your job title conveys your responsibility or if you have a job that is very common in the applicant pool. So for example, if you are a consultant, you don't have to say that you advise your clients. You can say that you advise you developed a program for entering a particular market and the client has now a 25% penetration or has increased sales by, X percent, whatever it is. But just saying you advise your client, well, that's kind of what it's assumed. If you're a financial analyst for Goldman Sachs, a major investment bank, don't just say you worked on pitch books. Give some context. Say, you worked on the largest deal of the century, or you worked on $100 million deals in real estate or trophy properties or anything like that, or you led a team. Don't just tell them what they already know about the position. Tell them what makes your role special, unique, distinctive, impressive. And for crying out loud, and I've seen this done so many times, it positively irritates me at this point. If you're working for an investment bank where they're known for notorious hours, don't say you're a hard worker. Everybody knows you're a hard worker. You wouldn't last in an investment bank for 2 days if you weren't a hard worker. So don't say the obvious. Again, use these boxes, these places where you can convey information about yourself strategically to create as complete and nuanced picture as possible. Okay, that's it for now. I want to thank you again for joining me for this, our 106th episode. I hope I've given you some thoughts that will help you as you begin your MBA application effort. And if you're not an MBA applicant, I'm hoping that some of these ideas, the idea that you should avoid cockiness and arrogance, even if you do have great test scores or, by the way, great grades, and that you should be strategic in your approach to the application as well as the essays, I hope that will help you too. I want to thank you again for joining me for this, our 106th episode. I have a short announcement and a favor to ask. First, the announcement. We are having a webinar later today, May 27th, which I will present called Get Accepted to Columbia Business School. If you listen to this podcast on the day it's posted, you can still sign up at, I'm not even going to give you the URL, it's way too long. Just make your lives easy. Go to info.accept.com/106, today's show notes, and scroll to the bottom for the link to the podcast, to the webinar rather. And if you're listening to this podcast after May 27th, then please again go to the show notes, scroll to the bottom, and it will take you to the page where the recording will be. The favor I have to ask, if you found this podcast helpful, could you please leave feedback on iTunes? It helps us get ranked more highly if there are more reviews, especially when they are 5-star reviews. And if you're not yet a subscriber, you can subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zune. Links again are at info.accepted.com/106. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week, and next week there will again be a guest. Thank you so much. Have a good week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.